Thank you, Brother James. Thank you, Brother Gary, for the prayer. On a special evening here, I didn't know how it'd work. Still don't know how it's going to work. But yeah, we've got a house full of folks here at Old Conley Line Road. Almost everyone that lives on this road's here in this house, and others. But it's I was just thinking as Brother Gary was praying, that's my father-in-law, and it's a great blessing to sing with and be in worship service with my parents, my in-laws, and just a whole bunch of people of my family, and we're going to church together, and it's a great blessing. Appreciate the opportunity for this evening. I've had something on my mind. Ask you to continue to pray as we go into this. I want to go to the third chapter of Colossians. He starts out this chapter saying, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And he goes on through here and talking about mortifying, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And then it tells us we're going to put off some things. Now you also put off these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. Now we're shifting over to putting on things. He says, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created it. On down to verse 12, he says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And in verse 14, this is the verse that's been on my mind. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity. Charity is love. It's defined as a love feast, but I look at it as a love in action. It's not just your common everyday love, but it's a love that's a sacrificial love. Of course, the perfect example would be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, sang, Brother Mickey requested that song, Bless Jesus While in Mortal Flesh. And that second verse, to me, it has been so special. I noticed it a few years ago, and it just sticks out to me. It says, on thy dear cross I fix mine eyes, then raise them to thy seat, where love dissolves my inmost soul at my Redeemer's feet. Right there, the Lord Jesus is the perfect example of love, of sacrificial love. And here he tells us to put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. I want to look at that bond a little bit. You can go through scripture. Let's go over to Romans chapter 12, where... Or Romans chapter 6, where he says, know ye not that ye are the body, or ye are members of the body of Christ. And then over in the 12th chapter of Romans, he mentions here, for so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, and so on. But it talks about us being members of the body of Christ. Then we can go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it speaks on the same thing. Verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. It talks about, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? And the ear, and so on, and stuff like that. You know, there's something that's been on my mind a lot lately, and I even tried to preach on it over in Tennessee, and I saw lots of, a few familiar faces from North Carolina on here. But that was the Brother James, and I was down in the hospital today, and you know, it breaks my heart whenever I see those that get up in age and say, well, I'm just of no use, I don't have anything I can do anymore. And tells us, you know, a lot of times we get in a meeting and it'll tells us, oh, there's boys and girls playing in the streets of Jerusalem. But before that, it tells us there's old men and old women leaning on their staff for very age. And then it says, and boys and girls playing on the streets of Jerusalem. And that's just the complete church, the way I see it. I tell you, I treasure the older members that are have gone through the tribulation, that have gone through the trials, and they can tell us and say, listen, I've been there, I've struggled here, I've been through this fight, but the Lord was with me every bit of the way. I went to see Sister Frances today. Her sister, who passed away a couple of years ago, she was what we call one of our great prayer warriors. She told me whenever I was exercising, I'll never forget it. I mean, I just started, I maybe just been liberated, and she told me, I pray for you every night. And that just humbled me so much to know that this sister, who I wouldn't even a member down there at that point, but she told me that every night she said she prays for me. Well, I thought, well, that's wonderful. And then a few years later, I still pray for you every night. She's one of the came whenever she aged, and she was on her upper nights. I just don't know why the Lord. You remember what you told me? You remember you told me you pray for me? Well, that's what still be doing now. Pray for me and pray for the church. I tell you, the members of the church, all members from the youngest to the oldest, are so important. They are members of the body of Christ. Of course, when we talk about the church, the body of Christ, there's different aspects of it. There's the aspect of it where out of every kindred, nation, tribe, and tongue, he is his church. But then there's the active church. Some call it the militant church. And that's where our local bodies are, where we come in and press in to the kingdom. And I tell you, it's a beautiful thing to behold, to see God's members, members of his body working together. But back to Colossians chapter 3 here, it says, put on charity. So as I've tried to point out here, we're all members. We're all members. We're all body parts, if you will, of the body of Christ. But here it says, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You look up that word bond there. I'm trying to find where I am here. The bond of perfect. You look up that word bond, and it is called a joint tie, is what it tells me in Strong's, or a ligament. And I just thought, what a wonderful, beautiful picture. You flip over into the second chapter here. It uses the same Greek word, which I am by no means a Greek scholar, but I can use Strong's every now and then. if I can find where it says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into these things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands. That word right there, bands, is the same word as over here, the bond of perfectness. Joints and bands, not holding the head, which is Christ, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. All these things, it says, they're knit together, ministered. So here we being many members of the body of Christ, but it says, put on charity in the third chapter, which is the bond, which is the joint tie, the ligament of perfectness. What holds it all? What ties these bones together, if you will, these members? Charity, the love of God, sacrificial love. You know, it's not just the old I love so-and-so, but it is serving him. How do we serve God? We serve one another in his church. You know, I'll tell you a funny story whenever I think about this verse, which I can't even remember where it is right now, but 22 years ago, next month, we were getting married in Dallas Church, and well, they had a videographer there, and they started interviewing people, and they interviewed my granddad. I can't remember how long he had been married then. I'm looking around, but it was probably right around 50 years, over 50 years. And so they asked him for some advice. Mr. Owen, the guy, says, what's your advice on marriage? And he says, well, love covers a multitude of sins. And man, we thought, oh, granddaddy's getting depressing. Well, 22 years later, we understand what he means a little better. At least Liz does now. But it says, put on charity. That's serving one another, which holds these bodies together. You ever seen, watching sports or whatever, someone with a torn ligament? Boy, you just got you still got that knee, that leg or whatever, but it's just flopping because that ligament's torn. Oh, but I tell you, it says we should put on charity. And it's the bond of perfect. It holds us together. You know, it tells us over in Philippians, says, let this mind be in you. First, he tells them to fulfill ye my joy. And he says that you be like-minded. How can we be so many different people on here? I just look at here. We've got California all the way. We've got from sea to shining sea right here on my screen. And we've got different, we're different folks. But I tell you, whenever it comes to the love of God that's in us and we working that love, working out, if you will, it just, when the Spirit of God takes over, all our differences go away, and we put on that love, and we serve one another, serve the Lord. I tell you, that's what holds us together. And he tells us to put it on. It's an action. We've got to work at it. Oh, these other things that we need to put off that he says beforehand, that's what we do by nature, what our flesh wants. But here he says to put on some things, and he tells us to put on above all. You know, whenever it says above all, he says to all shield, to put on the shield of faith, wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery darts of Satan. Here he says above all. It's kind of like when they ask Lord Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And he says, let's see if I can remember, that you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul. And the second one is like unto it, that you love your neighbor even as yourself. And it says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know, that makes sense, doesn't it? All of the commandments there. Well, if you love someone, you're not going to steal from them. So those are it says on those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. But here he says, above all, put on charity. I can't remember. Let's see. I guess we've been doing this since 2020. We're meeting people. Right now I'm looking at the Honeycutts there. Brother Lyman. I hadn't seen Brother Lyman in quite a while. But when we do run into you, it's like we're just running into our long lost friends whom we love dearly. And we can look to our great example of charity and love in Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for us. And what should hinder us from serving one another? Nothing. Above all, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. We've got our differences. Back to Philippians 2, after he says that, be like-minded, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took on him the form of a servant. I tell you, it is a joy to serve God's people. And everyone, I said, has things to do in God's kingdom. The greatest institution set up on this earth is God's kingdom. I'm going to go on a little further, because as I was thinking about this is going to be the night before Thanksgiving, I said, well, Brother Troy kind of got Thanksgiving sermon last Wednesday, you know, so he kind of stole my thunder there. But I said, well, that's not what's on my mind anyway. But then I started reading what was on my mind. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Put on charity. Let the peace of God. I tell you, brothers and sisters, if anyone in this world should have peace, it should be the old Baptist church, because we have access to the peace wherein, the grace wherein we stand. I'm trying to think, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, it tells us. I tell you, whenever we see these truths, it gives us a peace. And he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. We're one body, the world. Someday he's going to collect his whole church, his kingdom. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God. All of his children are coming out in one and will be one body. And he says, and be ye thankful. I tell you, brothers and sisters, we've got a lot to be thankful for. And the love of God and the love amongst the brothers and sisters in our local bodies and when we travel. I tell you, that's something to be thankful for. The peace of God. What a wonderful feeling that is. I talk to some of those who've come from different faith and orders, for perhaps are converted, and they talk about a time in their lives when they didn't have peace and they couldn't have peace. I'm looking at Brother Ronnie, you're right there in the middle of my screen. I remember what you said to me over there. Every Sunday you'd go to that altar, every Sunday. There's no peace in that. But I tell you, whenever we believe that the Lord by himself purged our sins, and saved us. Well, there's some peace in that. And we can go to sleep every night thanking the Lord for that. I thank you, Brother James. I'll turn it back over to you.